Welcome everyone this morning to our Commissioner's Court. As we begin today, I'm going to ask if somebody would be so kind as to come forward and open with our invocation. Would someone volunteer to do that, please? We'll wait. Then I shall, if that's okay. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, as we come today to do the business of our county for the benefit of these people in our county, we pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, that you would guide us, that you would watch over our court, and that you would take care of the people that we serve, Lord, as so many things are going on all over around us, so many negative things. Thank you for those who are all of our first responders, for our sheriff, our DA, our constables, and all that they do for us. And we ask that you would bless them, keep them safe, and guide them. And as we go into this time now, we look to you, we ask for your guidance, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'll do our pledges first to the American flag, and then to the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present today. And if I would, please, could I have the approval for the Commissioner's Court agenda? Do I have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. At this time in our agenda, we give our citizens an opportunity to come and speak on anything that they would like to talk about, as long as it is on our agenda, are either our consent or our open agenda. If you have something to say today, if you would state your name for the record, and as you come forward, you would share which item on the agenda that you would have.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judge.
My name is Claudia Laird, and I am here on agenda item 14A, the courthouse security projects. I understand this is an executive session. I've been designated by the courthouse security committee chair, Kristen Bays. She has COVID, and so I think I'd switch places with her at this point, but she allowed me to let y'all know I do have her designation with me. Code 74.092 of the Texas Government Code allows the Security Committee to recommend uses of resources and funds for courthouse security projects. And while I know some of the things that y'all are going to talk about in executive session have already gone through the Courthouse Security Committee, I know other things have not going through the Courthouse Security Committee, so I would ask you, until items have actually been vetted by the Courthouse Security Committee so we can give you recommendations pursuant to the statute, that y'all move forward on the ones that we have recommended and not move forward on the ones that we haven't been able to vet and recommend. And also, as a secondary thing, I know that, or I think that some of the items that you will be discussing in executive session will also relate specifically to the court offices and the individual courtrooms, and those items have not been presented to any of the judges. So just like y'all wouldn't go to the sheriff's office and make changes over there, or the DA's office and make changes over there without talking to the DA or the sheriff, we would like to have a voice and have a place in that. In that discussion. So Kristen is available by phone if y'all would like to call her. I am available as her designee, and those are the two things I would just like to ask you before you go to executive session.
Thank you, Judge. And it's because of those very things that we would not want to make these kinds of decisions without the sheriff being here, and he is unable to be here today, so we are deferring that item.
Then I'm out of your hair.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Judge, I would like some clarification from the county attorney's office at the appropriate time on, can the court take action on items regarding courthouse security without the security committee's approval? Is this a shall or a may, or how does that work?
I'll look at it.
It says, the statute says...
Oh, I just think the county attorney's office.
I understand, but since I'm an attorney too, I kind of have some background in this, and I'm sure you'll take her advice. It does not say that you are bound to our recommendations, but it does say that we may give them to you. And if we're not given an opportunity to review them or to speak to you about them, then we've been not given the opportunity to give you that advice.
Oh, and I don't think there was any intent by anybody on the court to do that. I think I don't even know what, to my knowledge, there was no conversations going to be had today about judges and courtrooms and rooms at all.
Okay. There was just some information dropped by Judge Bates earlier this week, and we never know if it's something that's actually happening today or if it's something that's for future discussion. And so we just wanted to make sure. I know that y'all are really aware of the projects that we have been harping on, but there were some new things that were brought up that we weren't aware of. So we just did want to make sure that we discussed them before we went forward.
The sheriff is not going to be here, we didn't want to make these decisions without him being part of the discussion. So
absolutely.
Thank you, Judge.
I appreciate
it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any other citizens that would like to come forward and make comment?
Morning.
Good morning, Judge Keogh. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Bruce Tuff. I serve as chairman of the Montgomery Central Appraisal District. Tammy McRae also serves on that board. I brought Tony Belanowski, our chief appraiser, to the court meeting today. I received a call from Commissioner Nowak, so this is in connection with Agenda Item 13 about the budget increase proposed by MCAD for a 23.87% increase. And last time we did this, we were sent back to the drawing board, and I learned from it that it's probably best to present to the court some of the reasons why we're asking for this increase. When COVID hit and we sent out the appraisals in January, there was a huge outcry about property values are going to decrease and we need to reevaluate all the property values in Montgomery County. It was a hard time for everybody. We were prevented by law from doing that, and at that time dealt with a staff that had no increases in the budget for that period of time. Since then, now January 2022, we sent our appraisals to the state of Texas, to the comptroller. Comptroller said we had undervalued all of Montgomery County, especially in our five CISDs. We were told to go back to the drawing board, reevaluate, which affected a lot of property values. In fact, big increases. So we have an overwhelming number of taxpayers who are protesting their taxes, naturally so. We encourage that. Our job is really to be fair and equitable and transparent and serve our taxpayers. That's really our job. Also, we are elected by the taxing jurisdictions. So here's the situation, just so you know, and we would appreciate your guidance on what we're requesting for. And that, I believe, Commissioner Nowak will address that as I had a conversation with him. We found out that we're losing employees. We're down 14. It's about 10% of our staff. We've lost three to HCAD. They're being hired away. Last year, one of our board of directors was concerned about the salaries and benefits paid to our employees. We did a compensation study, and it turned out that we're 67 to 89% of market. We reviewed the salaries. The benefits are just above market, so there is a little bit of a balance. Retirement benefits are below market. So this budget is trying to retain employees, and we're trying to hire new employees to handle the volume, which is substantially increased. You can imagine one of the fastest top 20 growing counties in the nation is now experiencing a substantial increase in properties, development, and valuation. So the valuations per staff is increased about 500 per employee, so it's like 3,500, and it went up from 2,800, 900. So this is an increase that we're proposing for our employees, and we're also facing substantial litigation matters. The commercial property owners.
Points well taken. And
thank you.
I'm confident we'll have this in discussion.
And if you need any further discussion on those matters, I'll be available as well as Mr. Belanowski. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Very good.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward and to share today from our citizenry? All right. If there are no more, then with proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Performance Recognition Award, Texas Motor Vehicle Division. Hey. And I did anyway. Yes. Proceed. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Daniel Levithia, and I'm the Executive Director for the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. Joining me this morning is Director Luna, Director of Vehicle Title and Registration, also with the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles, and of course, our very own Tammy McCray. Welcome. We are pleased this morning to recognize Montgomery County Tax Assessor Collector, Ms. Tammy McCray, and her staff for providing exemplary motor vehicle and registration services to the citizens of your county in 2021. The Montgomery County Tax Office has earned a gold level award as part of the TXDMV's Performance Quality Recognition Program. To reach gold level recognition, tax assessor collectors must provide superior title and registration services and meet or exceed criteria in the areas of business process, fraud prevention, customer service, and training. This is Ms. McCray's second year in a row that Montgomery County has earned the gold level award. And we are making a little bit of history today because of that, and so proud of Ms. McCray and her staff. Judge and Commissioners, Montgomery County and its residents should be proud of this well-earned achievement. Thank you for having us here this morning to present Ms. McCray and to be recognized as a great tax assessor collector for the state of Texas. We look forward to our continued partnership in providing quality motor vehicle services to the citizens of Texas. Please join me in congratulating Ms. Tammy McCray.
Thank you, Director. Tammy, would you like to say a few words?
I would like for you to say a few words. Yes, of course. I like a microphone. I would just like to say that this really is an honor, and I do have members of my management team from Conroe with me. We'd like to do a few pictures with Daniel and Roland in the court, and then with my staff real quickly. But I would like to say this award is an honor. It's a lot of hard work to achieve this award. There's various levels, and to be able to achieve gold 2 years in a row, That's not only me, that's my entire staff. And without them, we couldn't do what we do for the citizens of Montgomery County. So I just want to, again, recognize my staff because they are the true heroes behind this award. So thank y'all. Will y'all all stand?
Tammy, would you like to get a picture with your staff? Come on, staff. Come on up here with Tammy. Oh, there you go. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Thank you.
She brought her own professional photographer.
Kim, I see.
Okay, let's get staff.
She didn't hear me. Maris did, though.
Yeah, I know. I was ignoring you.
Yeah, we'll see. Don't have to stand up.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Good. Commissioner? Yeah, there we go. Perfect. All right. That's great. Nice.
Perfect. Thank you all. And congratulations. Well done. All right.
Tammy, congratulations again. And your whole team, what a fantastic job.
That's absolutely great.
I move.
Second.
Yes. All right. Presentation of Employee of the Month. If y'all would come forward.
To vote on A.
After we vote on A. I have a motion.
Yep.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tracy Hutchison, and I am the chairman for the Employees Committee. And today, we are here to present Employee of the Month for March, April, and May. And then we also have a special presentation that we have before we go. This morning, I would like to say there was almost 20 nominations for Employee of the Month over the various months. And however, everyone is deserving of this award. We can only choose one for each of the months. So today I would like to bring up Graciela Chaka from County Court at Law Number 1. She is the court reporter, and Judge Dennis Watson will be her presenter.
It is with great pleasure and honor that I am able to present this award to Gracie Chaka. It was one of the best moves I ever made when I was able to hire her about 9 years ago. She is not only proficient in her skills, she's very pleasant when she's doing them. Everybody loves Gracie. They love her a lot more than they do me, and I understand that. And she's much more deserving. She is a good friend to all, especially to the court. She's prompt. She does her job very well and very professionally. So it is with great pleasure that I award this plaque to Gracie Chaka, an employee and a friend. I'm sure they want to hear from you just a little bit. And by the way, I'm losing an employee next week. It's been with me 50 years, wow. Or 49 years, and that's Peggy England. She's been with me since I started practicing law in 1973. Wow. And she's been a good one. Just say thank you.
I thank the Academy and sorry, wrong venue. I have to say thank you to my colleague and my hall mate, Sally Gill, for making the nomination. I'm just overwhelmed by all of it, and I'm very grateful, and thank you so much for the recognition.
You betcha.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, now if I can have Sergeant Alexander Randall with Montgomery County Precinct 3 Constable's Office and our April Employee of the Month, Detective Sean Bridges from Montgomery County Precinct 3 Constable's Office.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. When you're done, I'll take a picture.
Okay. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name's Alex Randall. I'm a sergeant with Montgomery County Precinct 3 Constable's Office. Thank you for allowing me your time this morning and allowing me to present this honor to Detective Sean Bridges. With your permission, I'd just like to read a brief statement regarding why Detective Bridges was nominated.
Please.
For this recognition. Detective Bridges has served with the Montgomery County Precinct 3 Constable's Office for numerous years. He served in the Patrol Division as a detective assigned to Children's Safe Harbor, and currently as a detective assigned to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. The ICAC Task Force is comprised of many agencies who work to investigate the technology-facilitated sexual abuse and exploitation of children. Detective Bridges completed a career of service in the United States Army as a non-commissioned officer. He led soldiers during multiple deployments abroad. The leadership qualities and integrity of Detective Bridges enables him to exceptionally serve the citizens of Montgomery County. Detective Bridges is passionate about Constable Gable's mission to protect our community's children and hold defenders of our most vulnerable population accountable for their horrendous crimes. These crimes often occur over a period of time and leave a wake of destruction and devastation for victims and their families. Recently, Detective Bridges investigated two cyber tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. That center's cyber tip line is the nation's centralized reporting system for the online exploitation of children. These cyber tips include reports of suspected online enticement of children for sexual acts, including child molestation, child sexual abuse material, child sex tourism, and child sex trafficking. One of the cyber tips that he investigated related to a video which depicted a male child exposing his anus and his genitals. That video was uploaded to YouTube. That video, Detective Bridges gleaned information about the identity of possible family members. He coordinated a forensic interview for the child at Children's Safe Harbor. As a result of that interview, Detective Bridges learned the identity of a sibling who was also forensically interviewed. He ultimately learned and confirmed that the video was created by the two siblings when they were very young. Therefore, Detective Bridges connected the family with services and recovery-related resources. This investigation led to the identification of a child depicted in a sexual manner, and additional actions were completed in an effort to prevent the dissemination and sharing of those images online. He also investigated another cyber tip in reference to an adult male who allegedly received hundreds of images consisting of child sexual abuse material from an identified juvenile female. He learned that the male and female were engaged in a dating relationship at the time that these images were shared. He learned the identity of the female's family members, and through his comprehensive investigation, learned that the female and the male are currently married. Through his diligent work, Detective Bridges displayed devotion to the protection of our community's children and investigative excellence. Detective Bridges is an exceptional individual, and I'm very proud to be here before you to present this award to him. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, and before we move on to a May Employee of the Month, if I could have a Judge Kathleen Hamilton of the 359th District Court come up. She has a special presentation real quick.
Judge and Commissioners, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask Susan Mitchell to come up. She's here to receive her 20-year service pin, and this is all a lie. Not that she's not been here 20 years, but I have told her all along that because she missed the ceremony the other night, that we were having a special ceremony today for all the 20-year pin recipients that were here, but that's not the truth. And I would like to say I'm not good at lying, but I've done this one pretty well. I did really well. I've learned from some of the best in my courtroom. I took notes. So anyway, the thing is you stick to that line. You keep saying it again and again and again. But anyway, so Susan thinks she's here to get this 20-year pin, which you are. So there you go. However, there's one other little thing. You have been chosen as Employee of the Month for May of 2022. So I'm going to present this to you. And then I'm going to say some things that will embarrass you, I'm sure. But anyway, she's just amazing. She's been with the county for 21 years, with me for 16 of those. I kidnapped her from the district clerk's office. And Susan runs that courtroom. She's got an interesting courtroom because not only do we have a share of felony cases, but she also has a judge who's up to her neck and everything else. So I have three specialty courts that Susan has to align everything with the Veterans Treatment Court and the Juvenile Drug Court and the Adult DWI Court. So she manages to get those schedules all fit in and keep us scooting ahead of where we should be, hopefully closing more cases every month than we open, which we have done even during COVID, which was amazing. There's two other things about Susan besides the fact that she is hardworking, there first and leaves last, with jury verdicts coming at midnight, and you know, it's flexible. We had the inmate who escaped from 221st came over to our courtroom thinking it was the door to the stairwell so that he could get away. But it was the door to the room with the copier and everything else, and he was standing in front of our copier. And Susan kept her head. She did hit the panic button, and she may have hit him also. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. She had somebody else with her there. But anyway, but the other thing is that since the fall, she's actually lived in near Centerville in Leona and has been driving that distance every day to come to work and stay with us. So We appreciate her so very much, and I'm so proud to give you that award.
I wasn't prepared to say anything.
Do you want to say something about your 20-year pin?
It's
which was the excuse I used to get you here.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. I'm retiring next month, so this is super emotional for me. But.
And it should be, because we're not happy that she's leaving. So as much guilt as you can lay on her, that's perfectly fine with me. Anyway, okay, we'll get a picture.
You want me to squat? You don't have to squat.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all, and congratulations. Well done.
You're welcome.
All right. As we
thank
move
you.
Forward, thank you. Thank you so much. As we move forward to item number 9, County Clerk, consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session dated May 10th, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It was kind of in unison, ladies, but they got it. All right. All right, as we approach the consent agenda, are there any modifications that we would like to make to the consent agenda?
Judge, can we discuss 10K4?
Yes, 10K4.
Talk briefly.
We'll move that into the open agenda. Absolutely.
That's all. I move with that one change.
Is there any other changes anybody would like to make? All right. We have a motion with modification. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Then let's move to our open agenda. And Commissioner, if you on, K4?
Yeah.
Under emergency management.
I realize this is 100% under your scope.
Correct.
My question is just that when we hire people that are on grants, just making sure that they're aware that they're on a grant, and if that grant goes away, the funding goes away and the position.
That's correct. Yeah. I've got a number of grant funded positions in that office. They're all under that. Yeah.
Just wanted to make that clear, and that's it.
Yep. That's it.
Good deal. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Move on to our next item, our first item actually on our open agenda. And what I would like to do is to introduce to you today our judge that has come as our administrative judge. I've got some paperwork I wanted to give to each of you so that you could see, because what we have here is Judge Abbott appointing judge as presiding judge, administrative judicial regions in this area, Judge Trapp. Let me read some things about that, and I'll put a picture on there for you. And if you'd give that to Commissioner Walker. Governor Greg Abbott has appointed Robert Trapp as the presiding judge of the 2nd Administrative Judicial Region, effective May 21st, 2022, for a term set to expire 4 years from the date of qualification. Robert Trapp of Cold Spring is the current San Jacinto County Criminal District Attorney, and will serve in that position until June 30th upon his retirement. He has served as district attorney since 2014, was originally appointed to the position in January of 1990, before being appointed to the 411th District Court for Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto Counties, where he served from November 1995 until December 2012. Additionally, he has served as the San Jacinto County Attorney for January 84 until December 89, he's a member of the Texas District and County Attorneys Association and the State Bar of Texas, and a former member of the Judicial Sections, and many more things in your credo here, if you would. So why don't you come forward, Judge Trapp? I know you want to share a few things with us. I also do want to say that you are a very unique individual and that you have had appointments under four governors.
I have, Judge.
Clements, George Bush, Rick Perry, and now Governor Abbott. Congratulations.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. Brief opportunity to let you know a little bit about myself and what I'll be doing. Judge Underwood had been the presiding judge, I think, for 26 years. Region 2 is a 22-county area. It extends from Bastrop all the way over to Orange County. The offices of the region are funded by apportionments of the 22 counties, and the county where the presiding judge lives is to supply a facility for the judge to have his office and staff. It's been here for the last 26 years. I currently live in San Jacinto County. I've made arrangements to come stay here in Montgomery County on a temporary basis. My wife and I, Amanda, my lovely wife, has informed me that she's found a house that I like. And so we've been looking for several weeks, and I found out yesterday that I finally like one. And so we've made an offer on that. Amanda is raised here in Conroe. She graduated from Conroe High School. She's best friends with Nelda out here, or over here. And in fact, Nelda has also a profession of matchmaking. She's the one that introduced us and on a blind date. Amanda, my wife, she chairs the Leadership Montgomery County. She has been on the Education Foundation. She's also chaired the Montgomery County Community Foundation. I look forward to being a productive resident here of Montgomery County. I look forward to working in this office, and I'm truly blessed that the governor appointed me, and I want to be a good citizen here of Montgomery County. So thank you guys for letting me address you today, and I also would like permission to use the existing facility that you have, and again, look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, we appreciate it so much, and welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. Congratulations, yes. All right, as we move forward, budget. Amanda.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm here this morning to discuss the FY23 budget funding factors. As part of the annual budget process at the beginning, before we actually present the preliminary budget to you guys, we do ask you guys to take some action on some funding factors. So this year, together, myself, Gina from the auditor's office, and Michael's team from risk management got together to go over the funding factors and what we're recommending the court take action on for FY23. Currently, for FY2022, we know that our funding factor that we set was $14,616. We did fund that with some money going into fund balance, you know, to take that funding factor there. You know, since I've been here, every year we've increased it at least 5% just to keep up with the cost of medical care rising along with prescription drugs. This year we expect to bring that funding factor from $14,616 to $15,833. Most of our expenditures, of course, are related to spending money on medical services, which includes doctors, any kind of, you know, medical procedure that you might have, surgery. So roughly we spent in 2021, fiscal year 2021, just on our employees, a little over $20 million just on outside next level stuff. So that's, you know, doctor's visits, surgeries, anything related to hospital stays, that specific area. We spent a little over $2 million on next level, and that includes our wellness program along with our prime care. So what we do expect is we expect that over time the $2.1 million we're spending with next level could go up a little bit, and hopefully what you see in the bright red will decrease. Right?
Have you seen that happen yet?
Yeah, so we have seen a little bit of that. But for sure, I can tell you in 2021 and so far in 2022, we're not hitting fixed fund balance like we were before. So we are being able to project those costs a little bit better. I mean, I think the next level has helped us with that. And we do expect to continue to grow the program, and we are seeing a lot of people use that as their primary care physician. So I think that's a good step. Michael keeps up with the numbers of how many people are coming to the going to the next level, including the other clinics, not just our wellness clinic here.
And when you say employer contribution for employees, is this does that include dependents of the employees as well?
Yes. And that's where you see most of the increase. Our employees are really not causing our health care to rise. It is mostly our dependents that we're seeing. A lot of the major expenses that we see hit our medical plan are related to our dependents. So, yes, when we say employee contribution, that is basically to keep the employee rate low but also to fund those necessary expenses that dependents have. And we're going to show you later, when we get to some of the other funding factors, when we get to COBRA, that you can see how much those have increased over time and how much dependents are really costing the plan.
And can you tell us the number that we would multiply 15,833 by how many dependents and employees?
Yes. Give me 1 second. It's on my next slide, too. Okay. Okay, so self-insurance projections. In FY 2021, we had about $48 million in revenues coming in and about $42.5 million coming out. Fiscal year 2022, we are about right on target, meaning the amount of revenues that we anticipate bringing into the plan and the expenses coming out are pretty much net. So we don't expect to send money to fund balance. But what happened in 2021 was it allowed us to set that where we did have, 60 to 90 days of claims in the plan to be able to pay. And so it looks like, oh, man, we spent a lot. We got a lot of extra revenues. We actually didn't. We were catching up. If you guys remember in 2020, we hit fund balance pretty hard with our medical plan. And so for 2021 to bring that back up in 2022 for us to see not to have to hit fund balance, those are good, some good numbers. On the employee independence.
Between the $48 million for revenue in 2021 and then $26 million or almost $27 million in 2022, is that difference fund balance or can you explain?
So the 2022 number is just year to date, so that's just until today.
We'll move upwards to the same.
Exactly, yeah. We expect to hit close to that $44 to $48 million number.
And you have somewhere in here what the current fund balance is as well?
I didn't present that today because that was in Rakesh's CAFR that he presented, but we can bring that up if we need to, Commissioner. For FY23 projected, we expect the employee independence to be about $37 million, retirees independence to be $7.2 million. That's about, Commissioner, a little over 22,350 employees that we're expecting, and then 2,350 employees, along with about 470 retirees. Employee contribution for retirees. When Michael came on board, we did a deep dive into what was happening with the retirees, and we realized that some of the prescription drug costs had been hitting on the employer side for employees instead of the retirees. So we have moved that, and that's where you see that big bump from FY21 to FY2022. We've looked at the numbers. We believe that keeping the employer contribution for retirees pretty close to the 2022 rate will allow us to continue. Our target for retirees is that $7.2 million. So we believe based on the number of retirees and the employer cost that we can keep that right where it is. The next one is the COBRA rate. This is a rate that we really don't normally bring to you guys because we keep it pretty stagnant. But this year we are expecting, we would like to see that the court adopt some increased expenses related to COBRA. COBRA is the benefit that if an employee was to leave Montgomery County, that they have an opportunity to still have insurance falling in to the county's plan. You can see before our old employee only was $562, and we're asking you guys to almost triplicate that, so to $1,420. I mean, when we get to the employee, the family only, where we also see it at $1,309, that goes up to $1,682. And that is because really our dependents are costing us additional money. We think that, oh, it's just if you have an employee and you have your family, we have to budget for that whole entire family. We can't just budget for what the employee costs, because if we were to do that, to have the employee pay those dependent health care costs, that's going to be a majority of their paycheck. And so, especially for our lower paid employees. So we are asking you guys, although these numbers seem kind of crazy when we get to the employee side, this is because we haven't touched this number. And this is something that Michael and myself believe that this is really needed. Because these are, if we don't charge this to the outgoing employee, that falls 100% on the county. And so we just want to get some of that money back from the employees that are leaving the county. The next one is going to be property casualty workers' compensation. We are asking for a slight increase in the workers' compensation piece. We're having the general fund contribution go up from $500,000 to $600,000, and from the road and bridge fund to go from $400,000 to $500,000. And then workers' compensation remaining the same at $950,000. And a lot of this is just related to there are a few more accidents happening. Michael's got some safety plans established, so hopefully continuing those will help lower those numbers, but at this point, which again, this is lower for, compared to the first when I first got here. When we first got here, our property casualty number was in the 1.4 million. So for us to see it at the 1.1 million, that's kind of a, you know, a moving target, and we just want to make sure that the fund balance has enough money to keep up with the claims. So you have a couple of options. You can make a motion to approve the funding factors as presented. We can defer it to a future court date if you guys don't want to take any action, you want to absorb everything that you've heard today, or if you have any additional information. Just keep in mind that when we do the funding factor, we do set that for the whole entire, for retirees and employer contribution, we do set that for the whole budget year. So that sets it as October 1. For the COBRA and on any changes that you make to the employee rate, those are normally done, of course, at the January 1, which falls into the open enrollment cycle. If you decided to do a blended rate where you take 3 years at the old rate or 3 months at the old rate and 9 months at the new rate to build your employee employer contribution, that's $15,528.75. So you have a couple of options, but the one that I'm recommending today is to set the employer contribution for employees at $15,833 and retirees at $12,833. You guys have any questions?
Yes. Also, as we're considering this and deciding to move forward on it today or in the future, whatever, as it relates to our taxing entity and relates to exemptions that for exemptions have to be set for in the month of June, Tammy?
By July
1st, okay. Would this be a place to make a suggestion as it relates to increasing the exemption to the elderly and the disabled, or would it not?
Not really noticed, Judge.
Okay. I'm just figuring in terms of the total dollars amount. Okay, very good. Gentlemen, do we have a motion to accept the funding factors as has been presented?
Well, if...
Commissioner?
Amanda, can you... I want to make sure that if we did the $15,833, that's $1,217 more per employee dependent. Multiply that by 2,350, that's about $2.8 million. Then you want $200,000 for property and casualty, so $3 million, give or take. Mm-hmm. And then retirees is 470 times $33. Correct?
That's right.
So we're looking at just over $3 million increase in the budget if we accept this.
That's right.
We do have, but we have an increase in what we'd be receiving from COBRA, mm-hmm. correct? From the employees. Does that have any impact upon that number?
It has a small impact.
We rarely have more than 6 or 7 people.
I got you. Okay, cool. Yeah, very good.
But we, I mean, and again, what Commissioner Novak said, we do anticipate some savings with, you know, adding more services to Next Level. It's, and so when we're watching that, we're monitoring those, and we expect to see some savings from that. I can't tell you for sure it's going to be $6 million or whatever, but again, these are projections, right? We don't know who's going to be sick, who is sick. I don't know, and I pray for those people, but I don't know, you know, and so... we are estimating the best that we can, and that's kind of where we expect to be.
And what is the fund balance? And
Rikesh, you want me to?
Yes. As of 9/30/2021, when we did the annual report, medical fund balance was about $7.7 million. So for as long as the revenues and expenses trend along to net zero, we'll probably keep a fund balance.
No, I move on
motion
increase, but with the. You know, during the budget hearings, we can always make an adjustment if we
That's
need
right.
to, but I think you should build the budget around that.
Okay.
Now, at least.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Sure. We have a second over here. Is there any more discussion?
I'm just going to, sorry, Judge, I just have one more comment. Just keep in mind that this also affects grants and contracts. Okay. So we do actually, when you set this funding rate, we also tell, we have the contracts and the grants build their budgets along with these funding factors as well. Okay.
Great. All right. We have a motion. Second. Any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. So we move forward. Commissioners, Precinct 3.
Yes, sir. I have two different items regarding MCAD. The first one is pretty simple. Consider, discuss, and take action on rejecting a proposal from MCAD for a 23.87% budget increase. First and foremost, I think we can all agree that there are some really good, talented, hardworking folks at MCAT that really do work hard to do the right thing for our taxpayers. And so, you know, any comments or commentary is not directed at any of the employees. It's just now with the uncertainty of appraisals and where taxes are headed and inflation, you know, the price of gas, so many different things. I think it's just the wrong time to come and ask for a 24% increase in your budget. And I don't want to say that it's done easily, but, you know, it's a little bit, you know, when we've asked for a tax increase in Montgomery County, which we've never done since I've been here,
right?
You know, it's on our shoulders. And the board of directors for MCAD, while I know it's not something they take lightly, again, that's pushed back to all of the taxing entities' shoulders. It's not really on them. All of the taxing jurisdictions have to take that increase and just eat it. And so us rejecting this on our own isn't going to be very beneficial, because it takes 51% of the taxing jurisdictions to tell MCAD board to go back to the drawing board, so to speak, so they can come back with a proposal that makes sense. And I think if us being one of the largest in the county, or the largest, you know, we can help help start the effort of getting 51% of these different taxing entities to say, no, you need to do a little bit better. I'm fully aware of the fact that they have done a salary study that showed that they were not compensated appropriately, but that's not something that we can overcome in 1 year. And I see a lot of law enforcement officers in here. When I first got on the court, one of the things I did was worked with the sheriff, and we did a review of our law enforcement officers and where they were paid and what they should be paid. And we noticed that they were not paid appropriately compared to the surrounding entities. Even the county, we weren't able to make them whole in 1 year. It took 3 years for us to get our law enforcement officers where they should be. And I think the right decision by leadership would be to communicate that message to the employees and say, we understand, we want you to be compensated appropriately, but there's no way we can make up for that overnight. I don't think it's fair to ask the taxpayers to do that. And so, you know, there's a lot of other things being said about, you know, appraisal districts and should they be appointed or voted in office. I don't have the answers for that. I really want to just stick to the fact that I feel like we can do better. They can do better with their proposal, and I would like to challenge them to bring us something back that we can all work together towards passing. So with that being said, I would like to move that we reject the MCAD proposal to increase their budget by 24%.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? I will second that motion. All right. Is there any more discussion?
When do you have to have your budget approved? When's the deadline to have their budget approved? Because I'll be honest with you, I got the backup Thursday afternoon or Friday, and you can't look at that without your head spinning.
Yes, Commissioner.
You need more time.
Tony, if you state your name for the record, please.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm Tony Belanowski. I'm the Chief Appraiser of the Montgomery Central Appraisal District. Thank you for having us here today. Chairman Tuff gave me a call yesterday and asked me to be here on behalf of the Appraisal District. The Appraisal District's required by June 15th to mail all taxing units a copy of our proposed budget. We are required to have a public hearing on our proposed budget by September 15th. So we're required to send this proposed budget out 3 months prior to it even the official action being taken on the budget. So there will be a public hearing typically in our August normal, in conjunction with our normal August regularly scheduled board of directors meeting, which I think is August 18th this year. At that time, the Appraisal District Board of Directors will take official action on the budget for 2023. This is what this process is for us to be able to mail this budget out, to get the feedback from the taxing units on our budget. And Commissioner Nowak was correct. Our budget is apportioned out based on every taxing unit, which there's close to 150 to 160 taxing units in Montgomery County now, and it's all based off of levy. So each individual's taxing units levy versus the total levy of all taxing units participating within Montgomery County. So the county's total levy divided by the total levy of everyone. Historically, the county's portion of our budget has been between 17 to 18%, about $2.1 million to $2.2. The increase the district has proposed and the initial proposal increase would put that, if you keep your tax rate the same and your percentage stays the same, at about $2.7 million versus the approximately $2.2 million that was paid last year. So the board, the district staff presented the budget to the board of directors. As Chairman Tuff explained earlier today, we are currently 14 staff members short at the appraisal district out of our budget at 100 employees, which is very tough this time of the year. We just sent out 272,000 invitations for everyone to come visit us, and we've been pretty busy. We have currently, since January, lost three appraisers to go work for HCAT. Our starting base salary for an appraiser trainee is $31,000 a year. You can go to HCAD and start as appraiser trainee at $44,000 a year, plus car allowance. But we are running into where we cannot attract staff. We've had positions posted at the Texas Workforce, online, as many places as we can imagine since November. We have gotten approximately 8 applications since November. Our appraisers' positions are posted at the workforce with a specialty. If somebody's interested, they call the workforce and have to discuss it with the workforce. We've had one individual show interest at the workforce for an appraiser's position. As soon as he found out what the starting salary was, they were no longer interested. So we're trying to get the appraisal district, based on a study that was done in 2020, a salary compensation study done in 2020, based on salaries at that time that showed we were 63 to 86% of where we need to be. Is trying to get our salaries up to where we can attract and retain current experienced staff so we can better serve the public, have people there to handle the protests that come in. Plus litigation funds, as Mr. Tuff had mentioned earlier. But to go back to your original question, Commissioner Riley, is the official action on the budget will be typically at our August Board of Directors meeting. At that time, if the commissioners are still unhappy with the budget that's passed by the board of directors at that time, they have 30 days from that date to basically reject it at that time and would send us back to the drawing board on our budget at that time. Sorry, I went on and on.
Commissioners and Judge, if to kind of put it in perspective, what the MCAD board's asking is they want a 7% increase in the number of employees they have. And if we did that, we'd be asking for 164 positions. I mean, that should kind of put it on a scale of what they're asking for, how that would impact us. We've never done anything like that. That's just not how you handle it. And with all due respect, everybody in the county is facing the same hiring challenges that you are. It's not unique. But what is unique is leadership creating an organization that has the morale that attracts people and makes them want to be part of your organization. And I think there's some work that could be done in that area. You've had these 14 positions vacant for some time, and you know there's some questions on were those positions purposely held open so you could fund the first phase of the raises without affecting the budget this year? And I'm hearing that from people who work at MCAD.
Yeah,
You know, there are some things that have been made. You've got a long way to go when it comes to customer service and improving that. And I think there's lots of opportunities to do better.
And we understand that. We did. We do our best to serve the public with what we have. Morale is a big issue at any employer. And we deal with morale issues, our customer service issues. We are working on that. Majority of our staff has been at the appraisal district less than 3 or 4 years. So we have a lot of new staff. And the appraisal district business is not something you can learn right away, especially if you're an appraiser. It takes some time to really learn the in-depth. And I understand your concerns about making up at one time. We do not purposely hold open positions. We do have a time of year where it's very hard for us to hire individuals as an appraiser. Right now, we hire an appraiser. I have to pull the appraisers off that are handling, working with property owners to train that appraiser. when our priority is handling the property owners that are coming in our building at this time.
So, I understand.
As going to the adding the seven positions, the appraisal district in 2018 had 103 staff members on budget. 2019, at the recommendation of the board of directors, we removed three positions. So we've basically been at 100 positions since 2018. We have not added a single position since that time. Our budget for 2018 through 2022 has basically been flat. It's went from $12.2 million to $11.9 million over the last 5 years. This is the first substantial increase that this board of directors and the staff at the appraisal district have asked for in the last 5 years.
Go ahead.
Tony, I do understand the challenges. I really do. I sat on that board for a while. But I just think the 23.87 is just, that's a hard number. It's a big number. And I really hope that there's a way you can do better, not you, that y'all can do better with this budget. I really do. 23.87 is just tough, and I just don't see how we can support that.
And that, like I said, that's what this time of the year is. We actually just had the meeting last Thursday. We haven't even put our packet together to mail out to all the taxing units. But we are planning on setting up meetings to talk with taxing units and get their input. I guess you're the first one since the meeting just occurred last Thursday for the approval. But that's what, like I said, this is what that time of the year is for. From that time that the proposed budget is sent to get the input, but we need to tell, we have to, the responsibility to let the taxing units know this is what we need in order to better serve them and better serve the public.
Thank you. All right, we appreciate it so much. We have a motion, a second on the floor. There is no more discussion. Is there any more? If not, all in favor of Commissioner Nowak's motion, aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right. It's unanimous. Thank you. Appreciate that. Commissioner Nowak, the second element.
Yes, sir. And then second, number two, and I don't know that we need to take action on this. It's just more of a comment that in order for us to be successful, we need 51% of the taxing jurisdictions. I've already contacted one of the ESDs report up through my office or work with my office, and we all need to do that with our MUDs, ESDs, township, school districts. Everybody needs to be on board. And one thing I failed to mention earlier is the number of people that have contacted our office this year, much like MCAT, is higher than ever. And I think all of the taxing entities, we're gonna face heck if we allow 25% increase to go through in 1 year. So,
Also to that note, I've been to, we have recently a meeting with Tammy and with Tony just over the taxes in general. And by us setting the pattern on the homestead exemption, that now has moved over to, it can be done. The city of Conroe has adopted that same homestead exemption. And as we have talked about the no new revenue rate and pushing that to get the other entities to go to that as well. Yep. So it's a point well taken. And certainly we are able to have influence in order to get that done. We're doing it here.
Well, I'm hoping as the mouthpiece of the court that you can help and go talk to all these taxing jurisdictions and tell them get on board with it.
We're so far ahead of that right now, Commissioner. I appreciate that, though. And I will look for your help when the time comes up. All right. Any more discussion on that? If not, let's move on. Precinct 4. Commissioner.
All right, gentlemen. Consider and discuss and take appropriate action regarding additional needs of the County Engineers Department due to an increase in plans and plats. I've noticed we all have, I think, the amount of people that are moved here and development that has come about probably 3 months ago, somewhere along in there. I reached out to Dan Wiles after hearing from different people and asked him how things were going over there, what were their needs, if any. And, we do a lot of plans here, but I was hearing from different engineers, firms, and developers that were a little bit concerned with the amount of time that it was taking to get those done. And Dan's always been very open and honest with me, and he said it's just that much business, that many people are here, and the volume of work that they're dealing with is tremendous now. It's grown considerably since 2019, and I put this on here today to simply discuss about it and see if we might could do something to help them in the engineering department, where there was additional staff or tools that they may need, and I'm willing to do my part from Precinct 4 to help them accomplish that in the plans and plat department to maybe expedite those matters for all that are involved, for the engineering department to give them some relief if possible, and for the developers and engineers and the people that it affects out here waiting to move into a home or to get their plans. In their world, 30 days means all can mean the difference of something happening this year or the next. And so if there's something that we could do today, and again, I'm willing to do my part to help them where they can get some additional help to expedite matters here and move these plats and plans along in a timely manner. You submit, development will submit their plans. There's always going to be something that has to be changed or added to normally. And it takes time. It also has to go to the county attorney's office for them to review as well. And probably not appropriate to discuss that, but it's going to affect them at some point. It's already affecting all of them that are dealing with reviewing plans and plats and trying to get those out in a timely manner.
Commissioner, when I get opportunity, and I did of recent as well, had the opportunity to do a state of the county. One of the things that I message each year, and I do it probably three or four times, and what I do is I get with the people in our permits department and I ask them, well, tell me about what's going on with permits, which gives you an indication of growth. And Jay, he presented something to me when I in my last meeting with him, and he just voluntarily brought it up, and I used it the other day. But I somehow to factor in here into our thinking, do you know that in 2019, the total developer permits that were issued were 6,675. Calendar year 2020 was 9,342. Calendar year 21, 11,521. And so far to date, we've got 4,669. We're projected to go to 14,007 is what the projection is, according to Jay. So obviously with growth, you're going to have more permits, you're going to need more engineers, you're going to need more law enforcement with this kind of growth, just pretty much across the board. For me, the question is, when do you add it? We have a budget cycle that we operate in, right, that we others have come to us and asked us to make additions. And pretty much we said, you know, well, we're just going to have to wait till the budget cycle, waiting on salary study and that sort of thing.
And normally I would do that, Judge, is wait till budget time. I agree with Commissioner Nowak. He's big on that. And this is a little bit different.
Yeah.
We're up against the wall here. And if you, now's a good time. I think they need a engineer one, which would be someone out of college. It'd be a good time to do that. Engineer three is going to be a little harder to come by. If you can, you're up against those obstacles. And if you wait till the budget cycle, and if the court's good with that, we'll just work through it. But if you wait till then, you're going to put it out another 6 months down the road, and right, then it's going to be more difficult for them to find the people and get them up to speed and get moving along.
I've gotten calls, my office has gotten calls from individuals about, you know, taking 7 to 8 weeks to get plats and, I mean, all kinds of stuff going on, just a long amount of time that's these guys that have got these developments are having, and it's stopping them up for sure. Now, Jeff and I have talked, and Jeff, we do have one person retiring that we know about, which you're going to have another vacancy here if you don't already have it. Plus, you have one guy out right now, right? So if we did something today, we still have to fill immediately the vacancy that we can legitimately do without raising the budget. And then this person who is out, I'm not sure how to work around that. But I would go with the will of the court on this. Those are just considerations, because as it comes to adding people in a year, we have been consistent about basically saying no. We do have a kind of a marginal crisis here, though, I can tell you that. People are screaming. And whether that has to do with processes in the engineering office that could be improved, or whether it has to do with we need more people. I think the first thing is to hire the first person that you know you can have. And in that, and then, but again, what are you guys' thoughts on
this? How many employees do they have in that department?
Here's Jeff. You want to come up and share with us?
While he's coming up, I'm not hearing any complaints from developers, engineers about our engineering department. They actually give them a pat on the back for doing what they're doing, and being able to get as much work as they are doing now.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that all of us. I know I'm getting some calls from developers about plats and plans, and I mean this has been going on for a while. And I think Dan, I don't know who all reviews plats, but I know Dan is just about worked down to the bone. But again, when engineer's office has to approve plats or review plats, it has to go to the county attorney's office. They have to review them. Then it has to come back to the county attorney. And when, if there's notes or there's recommendations, then it has to go back to the developer. Then it has to come back. And all that time, there's more and more plats that are coming in. So there's no doubt in my mind that they need help. And I don't know whether waiting till budget time is the thing to do. That's just going to get us further and further behind on our plats and our plans. Don't know what they need, but I think that's something that we really need to look at. I'd be willing to help some way, somehow.
Myself, I'll tell you, in my office, it's the growth is unbelievable. In the north part of the county, it's really...
You know, we don't ever get calls in my office about this stuff, and I'm getting calls about it.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
So what is this that you handed us here, Jeff?
That's sort of a snapshot of our reviews the last few years, and shows the increase in workload we're getting. You know, we're reviewing stuff that came in our office 6-7 weeks ago, so there's that lag time just getting to them. You know, we review plats and plans in the order that come in, at least the plans. The plats are a little bit different because we have that state mandate about timing on that.
You had to what now? I'm sorry?
On the plats, we have a state, the state's mandated how long we have that, and so we try to get to all those. But the plans, you know, the amount of work just keeps on increasing, and I don't see that slowing down.
So how many people do you have now?
15 positions.
Where's the last time you added people,
Jeff? We added people 2 years ago, Jeff.
Give them two?
Well, 3 years ago, I added two people when I took this position. That's about it.
Do you have room for more people?
I have room for three people. I could probably use five.
And they did, just so you guys know, they were one of the first departments that have submitted their budget for FY23. Not sure if it's completed, but I'm seeing some stuff in the system. They requested three positions as part of their FY23 budget, an engineer one at $65,101, engineer three at $112,368, and then a inspector at $67,017. I talked to Commissioner Metz a little bit. If we were to fund the two engineer ones and the engineer three for the rest of the remaining fiscal year, we would need about $80,517. It is an impact, of course, to your FY23 budget. Keep in mind that is a road and bridge funded department. So that comes off of once we have the revenues coming in from road and bridge minus engineering, minus traffic, divide that by four, and that's normally the commissioner's set budgets. So just keep that in mind, that whatever you guys do decide today does impact your own budgets for FY23.
And what's the total impact for the 2023 budget?
Total impact, give me 1 second, Commissioner.
And while you're doing...
250 maybe?
It'd be about 168.
No, with benefits and all, because it's 65. Yeah.
What'd you say, 12. Two engineer ones and one engineer three? Is that what you said?
Engineer one and then engineer three. And Commissioner, it's... around $240,000.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, I don't know how you feel. I know your predecessor, who happens to be sitting here, was a big believer in, you know, the commissioner's staff having an engineer on staff. I've talked about it in the past. I still don't have one, you know, to kind of help in situations. Number two, at one point, we even looked in Precinct 3 of hiring and or paying for the inspector, have them house out of our office, still report with the county engineer's office, give them a truck, and let them do their job, you know, out in the field instead of having to be in the engineer's office all the time. I think any one of the commissioners could hire, you know, an inspector. It sounds like we need at least one anyway. The other thing to mention is I believe that there likely is a need for people in the engineering office, but I believe that, you know, fire marshal may have needs, the sheriff department has needs, the constables have needs, the county clerk, district clerk. I know the tax assessor has, you know, lines of people waiting to get in her office. And I, you know, the reason why we wait and do this in the budget process is so we can look at all of these things and kind of make a decision as to what impacts us the most and where do we spend our limited resources. And, you know, if we do it today, it could be at the detriment of something that may be more important. We just don't know yet. And so I believe that, you know, if a commissioner wants to fund something on their own, they have the budget, they can do that. They can work with the county engineer. But I think I would agree with the judge on this to kind of wait until the budget process. And Amanda, how far away is that? This is a couple months? August?
Right. Yeah, our budget workshop's the first week of August.
So, you know, we're just 2 months away. And then we can prioritize accordingly.
Yeah, but he won't be funded till October the 1st on that if you wait till then. And your plan reviews in just two years have almost double. Your plat reviews have more than double, according to your numbers here.
I certainly welcome this discussion. We've been needing some people for a few months, I recognize. And, you know, if we get started on it today, the last two people I hired, it took me 6 months to find the first one and a year to find the second one. And these positions won't be filled in a fast manner. It's going to take me some time to find these folks. And if I get started on it today, I might have one by the time the new budget comes around. But
the inspector, the one that's retiring, you're already filling that one, correct?
That's correct.
You need another inspector?
I think so. Yeah, just by the amount of subdivision sections they're looking at right now, I got three inspectors, and they're looking after 300 subdivision sections. And it's just, you know, we're not really able to keep up with the amount of growth that we're seeing in 1, 2, and 4. Three is kind of developed out, but we're seeing big subdivisions in the rest of the county.
I know.
Okay, so
I don't count much this time. I'm not getting a lot of complaints on this particular issue. It's unfortunate.
So, an engineer one and an engineer three.
Yes.
Would both of them be reviewing plats, reviewing plans? What would they do?
Well, the engineer three, I need somebody that's experienced in hydraulics and hydrology to help Dan work on the drainage plans for the subdivisions. Those are backed up. And
remember the lady, I didn't mean to interrupt you, the floodplain administrator, did they help in that at all or not really?
No.
Different. Totally
they're not
different.
Engineers. It's a different function. Okay. Theirs is more of a regulatory fashion. And then the engineer one, I like to train him up to just review plats and construction plans. And, of course, the inspector, you know, he can help out in the field too. So those are the reasons and what I'm requesting.
So to hire an engineer one, would that be like somebody that's straight out of college that may
near
has
about, yeah.
Very
yep.
And he can review plans and plats. He can do that job.
Well, yeah.
Time to
after
good
a little
time
bit
to
of coaching. Pardon?
Good time to address that.
Well, they just had a graduating class, so there'll be people out there looking.
Well, could you get by with one person now?
Because you already got one you got to replace. I mean, that you already
Judge,
have
that
in
one,
your stable.
They filled that one. This morning you guys approved a PCR or accepted a PCR
okay,
for
okay,
the fill.
Good.
So that position's filled?
Yes.
Good. I'm willing to fund the engineer three till October.
Well, that'd be great. It'd give me a head start on finding somebody. And give me the ability to actually advertise for somebody. I've been kind of looking around, but it's hard to do if you don't have cash in your pocket to pay them.
You know.
So what's an engineer one?
$65,101 plus benefits.
I'll do the one.
Yeah, it's 28.
Still October? Hold on.
He's aware. They're aware.
So what happens in October?
I'm sorry, just to confirm, those at least, Jeff, we didn't, when we were calculating, do either of those positions need a vehicle?
Do any sure. of them have, you don't have vehicles in a pool vehicle?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I have a truck for the department that can be doled out, and they can use that.
Well, they do mileage, right? When if they
yeah.
if you have a pool vehicle. Use their own vehicle, yeah,
right.
And then if y'all in October, what happens? What if we get into the budget and not a whole lot of money there? Y'all would fund it in 2023 too, if you had to.
I will. I'll do that. I don't know what he can't really commit.
I'm looking at
but I will.
So wait a minute.
I can probably do it till the first of the year. The county attorney may have, if there's something limiting from that, since I'm not going to be here in 23. I can fund it till then.
I believe we can fund it out of till January 1 out of Commissioner Metz's budget.
Okay.
So technically December 31st.
Right. So let's back up real quick. You want to do an engineer three?
I'll fund the three till she said I can do it till January 1.
And then you'll do a one?
Mm-hmm.
Continually after October?
Oh, no, I'm going to try my best not to do it continually, but...
But if you had to.
But if I have to, I will.
She's trying to define the lines here. I tell you what I'll do. I will split the engineer three with you. And then maybe when we get up to budget, we can talk through it and see. I agree 100%. It's overwhelming, your job is. I'm sure it is. And there's a lot of overwhelming jobs. Like
yeah.
Commissioner said, that you know, the county's growing. Every service we provide is maxed, mm-hmm. I think.
Commissioner Walker, could we get you to fund that position from January 1 to September 30th?
Of 23?
Yeah.
And then...
Just a question. If
Yes.
Oh, I'll yeah, do. He'll do that.
That's my compadre here. Yeah, I'll do it. I will do it.
And that's only contingent on it not getting funded in the budget.
Right.
Let me fund it till January 1, and then he'll take over there.
Okay. And Amanda, it's going to be real hard to find the money for this.
No, it ain't.
Okay, so...
I know right where to get it.
What we have so far is we have agreed that we have a motion then to add two people, the one and the three... paid for however
we
that all turns
We do need
out.
The motion to open the actual position. So you're opening an engineer one and an engineer three.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. Any more discussion?
The one thing I would say is for departments out there that are thinking this is unfair, this is the one thing that Amanda did point out is it's a little different just because it is road and bridge money and it's the only thing this money can be used for. It's like a commissioner's budget.
It's a special revenue fund designated specifically for road and bridge.
So it's not taking, really, it's not taking anything away from anybody else.
From the regular.
All right.
That's right.
Thank you for that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Go
Thank
for
you,
it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Appreciate that, Jeff.
Will you take one of these and look at it? Just sure. It's comments from a couple of engineering firms just about the timing and the necessity for people.
Okay.
You'll find it interesting, I think.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Executive session. Now we're going to move to court recess for executive session.
We defer A first. Right, Amy?
Right.
Be deferred before we go back there.
That's fine.
We're deferring that because
the sheriff's not here.
Right.
PGL's not ready. None of them were able to pull out. Or the sheriff could have been here. But
I don't think we should move forward without the sheriff, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. So I would ask that we recess executive session under Article 551.071, which is just the consultation with the county attorney.
All right. Thank you. And we shall return.
Thanks.
Let's reconvene court. There is no action to be taken on the executive session. Are there any citizens who have anything they would like to say before we adjourn our meeting? If there are none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I have a miscellaneous comment. Just that,
okay, go ahead.
I know that Tim Stewart's out this week, but next week I expect him to begin the process of making some changes in the Sadler Building as far as moving offices and getting some things worked out. So cool. I think all good things should begin next week.
Thank you. Is there anything else? If there is none, we have a motion to adjourn.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All